In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is
in
our
This week had a theme to it, and when we were visiting Central State Prison, I asked a question to the inmates for discussion that day, and it was, what should you do to get closer to God? What would you do if you wanted to be closer to God? And the typical answers, there's different levels of answers, but one answer would be, well, certainly I should pray. For those who aren't inmates in a prison, they would say, well, we should go to church. Some would say, you know, to go work and help the poor. But anyways, as we went through these, fasting, went through a short list, and all those things were very basic to Christianity. You say, you know, if you're Christian, more than likely you pray, you go to church, and you look out for other people on a basic level. So I said, okay, well, let's just assume that we are doing all these basic things, which is a big assumption because it's not happening for many of us. But let's assume that we're doing all the basic things that we would think of. What then do we do to grow closer to Christ? What can we do to grow closer? And one answer was, let's dedicate time to the Jesus prayer. So again, prayer. And then there comes a point where in the conversation there's silence. And the answer ended up being, well, I don't know. And of course it always is, Father, you tell me what I need to do. And then I say, I don't know. What do you need to do? And the point of the exercise was to come to this point of I don't know. You see, in today's gospel, we have an example of someone who would be a model of someone who is close to God. And listen to the Pharisee's prayer that he says standing before the altar. He says that he fasts twice a week. He obviously prays. He obviously is holy enough to enter into the temple and stand at the altar in his prayers. He wears beautiful garments like I wear. And he tithes, not just what the law commands, but he tithes beyond the law. So he's not given to covetousness. And he does all those things. But it's very clear from today's gospel that he is neither close to God nor will he be justified by those actions. And this isn't a person who's just fulfilling the basics. This is a person who doesn't even fulfill the basics. Did I just say that? This is someone who goes beyond the basics. Thank you. I listen to myself too. Well, and then we have another example, because many of us, with the rigors of Christianity and thinking of this list to do and realizing that, you know, some people do their prayer rule for a while and then they get frustrated and give up because they don't feel any different. Because it's supposed to feel good, it's supposed to, at some point you're supposed to like praying, and it's supposed to come naturally, but it never does. Some people tithe for a while, but then that doesn't work, because ultimately a lot of what motivates us to do certain things is that we think we're going to get something back, and then we don't get it back. And so many of the basic Christian practices are neglected, but we don't fulfill them. And we look at the prodigal and we think, well, you know, if a hellion can be justified, yeah, why bother climbing all these hills and doing all this work? Isn't it good enough just to be humble? Well, in a certain sense, it is good enough to be humble. But a caveat, and I got this from St. John Chrysostom a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Paul being chief among sinners. He says, you know, Paul is truly humility, because Paul is out there, he's evangelizing the whole Mediterranean. He sees miracles, he's full of the Holy Spirit, he's planting churches. He isn't neglectful of his spiritual life. And then Chrysostom says, if you're living a sinful life, you're not being humble, you're just being honest. If you're living a sinful life and you're not practicing any sort of basic Christianity, then, I mean, what's there to take pride in? Of course you're going to be like, forgive me, a sinner. You are a sinner. It's what you do. And so being, again, bringing it back to a more honest point, humility indicates, in the case of the publican today, indicates obviously that he was fallen, but that he's trying to be restored to God. Because he isn't just going home and giving up. He's actually returned to the temple. He recognizes his place in the temple. He doesn't enter up to the altar. He stays what would be equivalent to our narthex, the court of the Gentiles. His posture, his body, all say one thing. That this man is riveted with a sense of unworthiness. In a sense that he is broken and cannot fix himself. Now, the confusion with our faith is that on the one side, you would ask me what it is you need to do to grow closer to Christ. And every time I give you something, you would do some of it or all of it. And then when you did all of it, you would pat yourself on the back and feel good. This is what many of us do. But you're also not supposed to just give up and go away and live a sinful life. And so the tension, and this is not an easy sermon, the tension is that our spiritual life has to exist on a very personal level somewhere in between the Pharisee and the publican. We need the humility of the publican to see ourselves clearly, to see that we are sinful. Because people who do their prayer rules, who keep the fast, who come to church more than just Sundays and come very regularly, are often arrogant people who look down on others and don't understand why all these people, you know, show up so late and don't volunteer and don't sing and don't do what they're supposed to do. But I do what I'm supposed to do. And there can be a lot of anger within communities because of this, because you have certain people pulling and certain people who are very lackadaisical. But if the point of all our effort, if the point of all our fasting during Lent is that we turn and devour our brother, is that we turn and be against someone else, then we've wasted our time. We've entirely missed the point and wasted our time. And our fasting has become demonic. Always remember, as it's said, you'll hear this during Great Lent, that the devil fasts all the time. So it's not all about simply doing works. It's not all about what you can do. And so this is where the journey becomes more honest. Because once you realize that you can't really do a prayer rule, or really do the fasting, or really do anything in the Christian life without the Holy Spirit, without the aid to help you do it is one area, but without the aid to help you do it in the right spirit is the other area. But without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is impossible. And so there is no way to please God by just trying and trying and trying. And this should bring us to a point where we break down and say, God, what is it that you want me to do to grow closer to you? Because that's a humble position. That is equivalent to what the publican does. Now, we may not be beating ourselves up because of our sinfulness. Because if we wanted to modernize this parable, we would say the holy bishop and the drug addict, the streetwalker, we would think of the worst possible person we could think of as being the publican and essentially the ideal we strive towards, the holy monk on Mount Athos as being the example of the Pharisee. But it's in asking that question, what is it that I need to do to grow closer to you, that we acknowledge a fundamental reality about our spiritual life. Number one, God is not played. He does not get played because we do things. He does not respond to us because we decide that he should respond to us because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But he does respond today from humility. He does respond today with that admission of worthlessness and ability that I can't figure out how to go to heaven by myself. I can't figure out how to enter into the presence of God by myself. And if I think I can, I'm like the Pharisee, because I presumptuously go up to that altar and I pray and I stand essentially, as it says in the parable, by myself. Not that he was talking to himself, but that in some sense he was not talking really to God. So, as we begin these weeks which enter into the Lenten fast and everything, let's give up on knowing what it is that we're necessarily supposed to be doing. Now, you know that you're supposed to, you know that doing basic practices such as praying in the morning and evening, keeping the fast, those things are very basic things which don't have to have a lot of spiritual import to them, but end up being important because as we discipline, as we keep ourselves corralled, it helps us. So again, let's not just go off into sin and say, you can't figure it out, so we'll just go do whatever we want. On the other hand, let us open ourselves up to the possibility that we don't know how to direct our own spiritual lives. And in that humility of prayer, to ask God to come and be merciful to us, to forgive us, to give us direction, to show us the next thing that we must commit ourselves to. That's the other final point, would be that we only know what we're supposed to do, and we say supposed to, but if God tells you to do something, it's not a supposed to, it's a do it. It's a failure to comply, it's a disobedience if we hear direction in our lives and we turn the other way and walk away. And we're always hoping to hear, but we have to be open to hearing it. And we have to stop busying ourselves with all those things we think should be done and actually take the time to ask for God's guidance. May we emulate the Pharisee and his holiness and his ability to expend effort. May we imitate the publican and his ability to be humble, to be repentant, and to seek God's guidance for mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.